This morning, we focus on the love of God as we know it and see it in the sacrament. The book of Jude raises this topic again before us this afternoon, but in a different way. Because as we've seen, witnessed the sacrament, now what? How are you going to respond? How are you going to continue through this week? How are you going to continue into the next season? I ask your attention this afternoon for verses 20 and 21 of the book of Jude. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. It's a challenge, but it's a post-communion appeal to keep yourselves in this love. I want to lay before you this afternoon four thoughts. The first one is this, the critical reasons for this appeal. There's two critical reasons that we are to keep ourselves, to guard ourselves. The first is this, what have you received? You've received something of great value, something that's worth keeping. Communion is but a taste, a tiny bit, a little experience of the love of God, a symbol of what God has ordained, of what His promises are. But surely, as you see this, in the blessings of being united to Christ, you recognize what the value is. This is something that needs protection. That's the first reason for this appeal. But the second reason is much more sinister. There are enemies to what you've been given. And they want to destroy what you have. And Jude spends considerable time describing these enemies of the love of God. These enemies who think they know better, they know more than what God has ordained. And that's really the thrust of his letter. It's not a common letter that we study, but I just want you to scan this with me. If you turn to verse 4, he's describing these enemies as they're coming in. Certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. They are ungodly men. They are turning the grace of our God into lewdness, and they are denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, these enemies are unbelievers. And the word warns in verse 5. I want to remind you that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. And then he gives examples. Just look at the judgment for the angels that rebelled. There is punishment for those who do not repent and believe. And yes, even ignorance will be judged. Verse 15, the Lord comes to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they've committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And he raises those who make speeches mocking God, mocking the love of God, speeches that promote their own errors, speeches that exalt individual people. And the description of these enemies of the love of God is most explicit in verse 16. They are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words. They flatter people to their own advantage. They show favoritism. They've lost what it means to live the gospel. You're starting to understand why this appeal is so critical. Because if you have no love of God in you, then you are one of these enemies. You have no spiritual authority, but there's more. This is what makes it a reflection service at the same time. Jude says in verse 12, some of these people are here. They are spots in your love feasts. They are marks at your communion table. And this word for spot here is not like a tiny hidden stain like is on the white tablecloth this afternoon. This is a dangerous reef hidden just under the calm surface. It's absolutely destructive. And these enemies, the warning is, are here. This is an appeal. There's critical reasons for this appeal. One is the value, but the other is the enemies. You need to make sure that you are contending for the faith. And so as we come more directly to our text this afternoon, Jude gives basic instructions as to how to do this, how to keep ourselves. Because the instructions aren't so much respond to the enemies of God. They're more personal. To contend for the faith is not just attacking everybody else. To contend for the faith is living a personal faith yourself, a life committed to the gospel. You see, this is part of keeping ourselves. We're not called to keep others. Keep ourselves. If what we have is so valuable, and if the enemies are so dangerous, let us set up a security system, shall we? So that what is good stays in, and what is bad stays out. Well, what is the security system? Jude gives it to us in these verses. Four aspects to this. The first aspect of the security system is keep building. Verse 20. You, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. You see, this is an instruction. You've received this gift, but if you are to properly keep it, you are to build on it constantly, knowing, understanding, growing, studying. And this has to be continual because no one here has fully achieved. Are you building yourselves up on your most holy faith? Are you helping those in your family build? Certainly you're not tearing down, right? Let's build each other up. But then second, let's pray. Praying in the Holy Spirit. If we are to have a proper security of the gift we've been given, let us pray in the Spirit. And this isn't just asking for things. This is all prayer. We respond to God with thanksgiving. We respond to God humbly with confession. We respond, yes, with requests. But we respond, we pray as we grow and as we desire to grow. It's as Paul says to the Ephesians, we pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance. And then not just for ourselves, but we pray with supplication for all the saints. And notice that this would abound. Paul tells the Philippians that he is praying that their love would abound yet more and more in knowledge and judgment and in approval of excellent things. Are you praying that for yourself? Are you praying it for the church here as a whole, as a body? If we are to protect what God has blessed us with,
We need to pray.
Thirdly, we need to watch. Watch. This comes in verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. This word for keeping is really watching carefully, almost jealously. It's a desire that nothing that is good would be able to leave and nothing that is evil would be able to come in. To use a slogan you've all heard before, let's build a wall and keep what is good inside. Guard our spiritual energies, not in being stingy with this, because we're guarding this together. We're watching. We're keeping ourselves giving to God, not our leftovers, but our best. And fourthly, we are looking, building, praying, watching, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. This looking is not just an accidental glancing in the mirror like you do when you drive, right? You're scanning the mirrors and you can say, I was looking in my mirror. No, this looking is, again, intently. I am looking with expectation for the day that Jesus Christ is returning. I'm gazing at this for this, because this is keeping myself in the love of God. You see, these four components then build, as it were, a security system so that the gift that we've received, a sense of the love of God, will not leave us, but we will be able to stay in this. But maybe you're thinking, Pastor, why is the title Keep Yourselves and why does this seem to keep coming up as the main thought? Those four clauses. There are four basic instructions. But it's the grammar that tells us which one is the primary one. Let me give you an example in English. If you were to be home one day and got a text from your spouse or maybe your mom, and it says, set the alarm, take the car, go get groceries, and stop at grandma's on your way home. You have four clauses. What's the main instruction if you had to summarize it? I have to go get groceries. I'm to set the alarm and go get groceries. I'm to take the car and go get groceries. I'm to go get groceries. And on my way home from getting to get groceries, I have to stop at grandma's. And we get that. But that's the point here as well. We are to build ourselves. We are to keep praying. We are to keep ourselves. We are to look for the mercy. But all of this is given to us that we might keep ourselves in the love of God. If this is such a rich thing, let us keep ourselves here. Because that's what every unbeliever wants to distract you away from. And the distractions come easy and quick because the distractions are as simple as misunderstanding the other instructions. Let's go back to the English example. If you forgot that the main instruction was go get the groceries, you would just say, hey, Mom and Dad just gave me the car. They said I could take it. Right? And to say, no, that's not what I meant. Well, what happens when we focus so much on one of these things without the context of keeping ourselves in the love of God? We misapply what it is to build ourselves up. I'm not to puff myself up. No, I am to build myself up in the faith so that I may be always focused on the love of God. I am to pray in the Holy Spirit, but I am not to pray in the Holy Spirit for things that the Spirit has not promised, but I am to pray in the Spirit that I will be kept in the love of God. I am to look for the return of God. Why? So that I might be totally, properly focused on Him. This is the repeated appeal tonight. Keep yourselves in the love of God by building yourselves. Keep yourselves in the love of God by looking. Keep yourselves in the love of God by praying. But certainly, 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 keep yourselves in the love of God, and may that thought and that reminder never escape you. Because then the mockers and the scoffers and the enemies can do little against us. You see, that's Jude's way of teaching the church to protect themselves, yes, even from their enemies and all the, even the cultural things that are coming against the early church. Keep yourselves in the love of God. But maybe another question's entered your mind that sounds a little bit self-centered, humanistic, even too positive about what people can do. How can I do this? Isn't that kind of just the new religious works? Well, let's look at our text once more with a different lens this time. Why is this possible? It doesn't lie in human ability. The possibility of this lies in the triune God. Jude reminds the people that they are dependent on the Holy Spirit. We pray in the Holy Spirit to keep us in the love of God. Without the Holy Spirit's work, all is dead. There's no spiritual life. There's no spiritual improving. There's no spiritual keeping ourselves. If the Spirit withdraws from us, we fall back. But in the Spirit, all is alive. As Paul says, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. If we are to guard ourselves from the enemies of God, we need to depend on this same Spirit, the Comforter who comes strengthening and giving gifts. And then Jude reminds the people that we keep ourselves in the love of God. This isn't something that I have found. Who loved first? God loved first. We love Him because He first loved us. And I keep myself under that fact. God loved me first. To them that are sanctified by God the Father. If we have not been the recipient of God's love, we can never keep ourselves in that love. But if we have that love within us, it's not because we got it or we purchased it. It's because He gave it. And God still loves. It's eternal love. And so keep yourselves in the love of God. This is necessary. Even Jesus summarized the law this way. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And if that again sounds impossible and that again reminds you of how often you fail, there's grace here too, because it's not only in the Spirit from God, but we look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are to guard yourselves, and yet you look to Jesus Christ. Look at His mercy. Remember that He has prayed not just for His disciples, but He has prayed for all those who would come after His disciples. He prays for the church. Father, keep through Your name those whom You have given Me. I have given them Your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that You should take them out of the world, but that You should keep them from the evil one. And you hear the mercy that drips from that prayer. It's Christ's mercy for His people. For people who have to face the enemy. The evil one, the apostates, the wolves in sheep's clothing. There are enemies outside and they want to keep you away from the love of God. They want you to join them in loving other things, other idols. And God, through Jude, says to the church,
You need a security system of these four things, but it's powered by me, the triune God. I am the supply that you need. If you have that supply, it will go well. Will you not use this then? You know, if you're married, you know that love needs to be nurtured, needs to be remembered, it needs to be maintained, it needs to be guarded. You need to keep what is right in, you need to keep the enemies out. Why? Because in a marriage, love wanes, it flows, it's stronger, weaker. There's a danger in the church that we wane in our love. We diminish the importance of God's love. And the rebuke against Ephesus is that they had left their first love. Is your love waning or growing? If you think of marriage, love gets clouded by selfishness and pride. You can't serve your spouse if your love is focused on yourself and you say, I am in this for me. It's going to crumble. Why do you have a relationship with God? Are you focused on yourself, even as you have a relationship with God? You can't properly worship God. You can't properly serve God if you just keep thinking about yourself and what am I going to get out of this? And then, like in marriage, love needs to be grounded and strong. We don't go based on our emotions, but we are to be like trees well planted, where the roots go deep and the nutrients come from deep, and that's the fruitfulness and the flourishing. Where a little wind doesn't knock our marriage tree over, but a little wind makes us stronger together. And now just let's go back away from marriage and think of what Christ has done for His bride, the church. And you've received this today, a token of this gift, a gift of the love of God the Father. This is more valuable than any marriage love. This is more valuable than any pearl of great price. This is, as it were, the kingdom of God in your hearts. Will you not secure this? Guard this. Don't you want to stay in His love? To be a willing bride, a loving bride back, a obedient bride, one rejoicing in the bridegroom, not just on the marriage day, but always. I love the Lord because He has heard my cry. He has taken me out of the pit. He's put me on the rock. He put a new song in my mouth. I want to praise Him. And there's enemies who want to take that out of your mouth. And they want you to go back in the slough of the spawn or the pit of despair. And God's word comes and says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Don't wander. Don't turn away. Don't diminish that love. Don't succumb to doubts. Don't believe the lies of the devil. Don't get sleepy. Don't get lazy. Don't assume. Don't be negligent. Don't get overconfident in yourselves. You go through the explicit examples Jude's mentioned in this chapter. Angels loved their own position too much. Cain loved himself too much. Balaam loved himself too much Korah loved himself too much. You know what happened to all of them. Don't be like them. But be beloved, building yourselves, keeping yourselves set apart. The broken bread and the poured wine show His love to you. Even greater, His broken body, His spilled blood shows His love to you. Even greater, His coming down from glory to walk on this sinful earth and to die for sinners who would desert Him shows His love for you. Bask in that. Don't let the enemies distract you. His love was so visible. Show others. This is what Christ's love is all about. His love acknowledged you. Individually, and yes, as a community. Keep acknowledging Him. His love granted you hope and healing. Guard that healing. His love has given you forgiveness. Guard that forgiveness. His love, in many ways, is an embrace. You are children of God, co-heirs with Christ. Don't you want to guard that embrace? Keep yourselves in the love of God. Paraphrase another part of Scripture. Stay in the Word. Guard your faith. Use the means to stir up your love. Remember the eternal hope. Make friends of God's children. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Quench not the Spirit. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Is there anything better than the love of God the Father displayed to you, a sinner, in Jesus Christ, His Son? Guard it. Keep it. May God receive all the glory.